Vulnerable populations. A healthcare facility may have certain population subgroups that are more vulnerable to infection risks than the general population. Examples discussed here include dialysis, pediatric, and immunocompromised patients, pregnant women, and the elderly. Dialysis patients. Many patients undergoing dialysis are already at risk for certain types of infections from underlying diseases or conditions. For example, diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and immunosuppressive therapy, and dialysis increases a patient's risk of infection further because it requires direct access into normally sterile areas of the body, the circulatory system or peritoneal cavity. Some of the more common types of dialysis-associated infections are access site infections, bacteremia, peritonitis, and bloodborne pathogens, BBP, such as hepatitis B and C viruses, HBV and HCV, and the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. In addition to infections, dialysis patients may be at risk for certain adverse reactions that, although not infectious in origin, may be difficult to distinguish from infections. These include pyrogenic, allergic, and chemical reactions, such as dialysis dementia, fluoride intoxication, and chloramine exposure that may be as life-threatening as an infection. Infections and adverse reactions may also be the result of inadequate dialysis systems or procedures, breaks in established procedures, intrinsic contamination of any component of the dialysis system, lack of monitoring for known contaminants, reprocessing failure, or inadequately trained or unknowledgeable staff. Risk of infection or adverse reactions in the dialysis unit can be reduced by strict adherence to aseptic technique during all dialysis procedures. Strict adherence to procedures for use, disinfection, and maintenance of equipment. Knowledgeable, well-trained staff that understand the implications of deviating from established procedures. Careful monitoring of all procedures in which bacterial or chemical contamination can occur. An effective patient education program that includes educating patients and their families about their role in preventing dialysis-associated complications, including health maintenance and prevention of infections. Routine monitoring and follow-up of patients undergoing dialysis, including an active infection surveillance and prevention program. Providing HBV vaccination for all susceptible chronic hemodialysis patients. One example of patient education is instructing patients to keep central venous catheter, CVC, dressings clean and dry. Patients or their caregivers should also be instructed in how to care for the insertion site and how to replace the dressing should it become compromised. Additionally, patients should be instructed not to submerge their catheter or insertion site in water, but that they may still shower if the catheter and insertion site are covered with an impermeable dressing. Pregnant women. Historically, perinatal infections were associated with significant morbidity and mortality for both mother and child. The challenge for current obstetrical infection prevention is how to minimize the risk for HAIs while still providing family-centered maternity care. Children, when present, must be screened for acute infections and adequately supervised. The birthing environment should be safe for both the family and HCP, whether it occurs in a hospital, a birthing center, or at home, and this is done through the use of evidence-based infection prevention practices and innovative environmental design. Throughout the pregnancy and postpartum periods, the obstetrical and nursery teams should communicate frequently to ensure that the host factors of the mother and any interventions taken do not adversely affect the well-being of the fetus or neonate. SP protect all HCP, including pregnant personnel, from exposure to infectious agents. It has been shown that pregnant individuals adhere more closely to recommended precautions than those who are not pregnant. This is because pregnant HCP have the additional concern of coming into contact with an infectious agent that may cause serious illness, a congenital syndrome, or some other adverse pregnancy outcome. In general, maternal immune function is normal, but cell-mediated immunity to viruses and pathogenic fungi decreases in the third trimester. Pregnant HCP should, therefore, be immunized according to the schedule for adult immunization. When exposed to patients with an infection for which there is no vaccine, pregnant HCP may become concerned for their own safety or that of their fetus. Such patients include those with cytomegalovirus, CMV, parvovirus B19, herpes simplex virus, syphilis, rubella, and varicella, if not immune, the elderly. Age-associated changes in patients can contribute to an increased risk for infection, either directly or indirectly. Infectious diseases are a frequent cause of morbidity and mortality in older adults. Numerous infectious diseases are more serious and have more drastic consequences for the elderly. Key point: one of the principal changes associated with aging, as it relates to IPC, is the decline in immune function that occurs even among the healthy elderly, which increases their vulnerability to infection. One example of a healthcare facility with a typically elderly demographic is LTC facilities. Most residents are over 65 years of age with a mean age of 80. Frequent visits to the hospital, specialty clinics, and skilled nursing facilities place older adults at higher risk for HAIs, including methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA, and C. difficile. For older adults, many illnesses require treatment that involves a procedure like catheterization, which increases the risk of infection. It is estimated that more than 1.5 million HAIs are occurring yearly in LTC facilities. Infection is the most common reason for transfer of residents from an LTC facility to an acute care hospital and accounts for about 33% of the transfers. Pediatric patients. Neonates are relatively immunodeficient, but even infants and older children can be susceptible to infections because their immune system is relatively immature or because they have not yet been exposed to a particular pathogen. Infants and toddlers younger than 2 years of age have a decreased response to polysaccharide antigens, putting them at elevated risk of Streptococcus pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenzae, and Neisseria meningitidis. Maternal immunoglobulin G, IgG, antibody is passively acquired transplacentally. As maternal antibodies wane, children become susceptible to infections that they have never been exposed to or adequately vaccinated against. Varicella and pertussis are two examples of such illnesses. Additionally, some pathogens, like respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, provoke such a limited immune response that infants become susceptible again a short time after initial infection. The influenza virus poses another challenge to infants younger than 6 months old since they cannot receive the influenza vaccine, and the influenza virus changes its antigenic properties so rapidly that immunity acquired 1 year may be of limited value the next. Because of their susceptibility to communicable diseases, all children should be vaccinated according to national guidelines. Immunocompromised patients. An immunocompromised individual is one whose body's normal defense mechanisms have one or more defects that predispose them to infection, often life-threatening, that would otherwise not occur. These individuals also continue to be at risk for common infections, which may pursue a more aggressive course than in immune-intact individuals. In the immune-intact individual, only a relative handful of pathogens are able to cause disease. As the host becomes progressively more immunocompromised, progressively less virulent organisms become pathogenic. Thus, patients with major immune defects are at risk for a larger number and a greater variety of infectious diseases. These are called opportunistic diseases. For example, breaks in skin cutaneous integrity, such as burns, can promote invasion by skin flora such as Staphylococcus aureus. Similarly, defects in mucous membranes, obstruction of a natural body passage, granulocytopenia, dysfunction of cell-mediated immunity, and splenectomy or humoral dysfunction encapsulated bacteria are all ways in which the immune system may be compromised. Medical conditions or treatments that may result in impaired immunocompetence include, but are not limited to, active treatment for solid tumor and hematologic malignancies. Hematologic malignancies, example, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, multiple myeloma, acute leukemia. Receipt of solid organ transplant or an islet transplant and taking immunosuppressive therapy. Receipt of chimeric antigen receptor, CAR, T-cell therapy or hematopoietic stem cell transplant, within 2 years of transplantation or while undergoing immunosuppressive therapy. Moderate or severe primary immunodeficiency. Example, common variable immunodeficiency disease, severe combined immunodeficiency, DeGeorge syndrome, Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome. Advanced or untreated HIV infection, people with HIV and a CD4 cell count of fewer than 200 cells/M3, a history of an AIDS-defining illness without immune reconstitution, or clinical manifestations of symptomatic HIV. Active treatment with high-dose corticosteroids. That is 20 or more milligrams of prednisone or equivalent per day when administered for 2 or more weeks. Alkylating agents, antimetabolites, transplant-related immunosuppressive drugs, cancer chemotherapeutic agents classified as severely immunosuppressive, tumor necrosis factor, TNF, blockers, and other biologic agents that are immunosuppressive or immunomodulatory.